fourth was bragging on it. And Eusebio the fourth was referring to, you know, boy, they, you know, if we get out of jail, the city council, people are going to be scared because of what happened to Dude. Obviously referring to Chauncey Bailey. What was not in that report and what we found on the videotape itself was Eusebio the fourth actually admitting being complicit, you know, admitting that he held the shotgun, he had the shotgun after it was used to kill Bailey in his closet. The fact that he mimicked what happened to Chauncey Bailey when he was shot. You know, the fact that he was bragging that his he was not going to face charges because of Detective Sergeant Derwin Longmire. Now, the Chronicle referred to that, but, you know, the fact that when you actually watch him say it, when you can see him say these things, you can hear him say these things, you know, and you hear him laughing about Chauncey Bailey being shot, well, that was the thing. I think the most people looked at that and said, wait a minute, why is this guy not facing charges?
Yeah, the Oakland Police Department didn't seem like it was pursuing that, and in fact, the guy, Longmire, who was heading the investigation, was not implicated, but suggested they had some kind of relationship with Bay.
Well, you know, I mean, the relationship he had, you know, you have to understand that he investigated Antar Bays, Eusebio's older brother, he investigated that murder. So he got to know the family in that respect. And, you know, it's no secret that Eusebio's attorney said that Longmire served as more of a big brother to him because Eusebio's mother wanted Longmire to get her son, you know, to go straight. Pushed back till Friday. Over the objections of the homicide commander who was saying, look, these guys are going to kill somebody else. And they did. And so when we did this story, we put a call in like we'd always done to the police department. Always they said no comment. This time, because we were talking about the command staff, the chief himself called us to say, wait a minute, you guys have this wrong. Well, we didn't have it wrong, and all of his commanders said we had it right.
And you, I said at the very beginning that the journalists who are volunteering their time through the Chauncey Bailey Project are the heroes in all of this, keeping the story alive. Bob Butler, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Individual, former reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle.
How you doing, man?
Fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like our... Can I ask what the question is all about?
San Francisco.
Of course it's my car.
Okay.
I got the key that I opened this with.
Okay. I thought you'd want me to check on you, man.
I thought this was police harassment.
Am I harassing you?
Yeah.
I'm harassing you?
Yeah.
All I said was, what's up, man? Is this your car?
Right. You could say, hi, what a nice day.
I could
say, what are you doing? Ask me why this is my car. I mean, okay, it's got, you know, you might have been noticing it doesn't have a thing. I taped the thing where I got stolen, okay?
You really feel harassed right now?
Yeah. You got your hand on your gun, don't you?
Dude, I always keep my hand right there, or right here. Always. You know how heavy the silk is? How you doing, man?
Fine. So a little before 10 o'clock p.m., I think, a little less than 12 hours after that conversation with Officer Sorrell, there's at least four youths that tried to steal my bag. That very spot. Well, I screamed my bloody head off under the watching eyes of the post office, but never mind. I'm glad no gun people got involved. Because these kids weren't armed or they weren't using anything they had.
Obama.
Okay, it was the second time a false police report was made in connection with that van and that station, and they never wanted, they don't have caller ID.
You were
so.
Obama at area code 202-456-1111 and appeal for Leonard's release.
1815, five Rothschild brothers were to supply gold to both Wellington's army through Nathan in England and Napoleon's army through Jacob in France and begin their policy of funding both sides in wars. The Rothschilds love wars because they are massive generators of risk-free debt. This is because they are guaranteed by the government of a country and therefore the efforts of the population of that country, and it doesn't matter if that country loses the war because the loans are given on a guarantee that the victor will honor the deaths of the vanquished. reading from Timeline of the Rothschild Family. While the Rothschilds are funding both sides in this war, they use the banks they have spread out across Europe to give them the opportunity to set up an unrivaled postal service network of secret routes and fast couriers. The post these couriers carried was to be opened up by these couriers and their details given to the Rothschilds, so they always were one step ahead of current events. Furthermore, these Rothschild couriers were the only merchants allowed to pass through the English and French blockades. It was these couriers who also kept Nathan Mayer Rothschild up to date with how the war was going, so he could use that intelligence to buy and sell from his position on the stock exchange in accordance with that intelligence. One of the Rothschild's couriers was a man named Rothworth. When the outcome of the Battle of Waterloo was won by the British, Rothworth took off for the Channel and was able to deliver this news to Nathan Mayer Rothschild a full 24 hours before the Wellington's own courier. At that time, British bonds were called consols, and they were traded on the floor of the stock exchange. Nathan Mayer Rothschild instructed all his workers on the floor to start selling consols. That made all the other traders believe that the British had lost the war, so they started selling frantically. Therefore, the consols plummeted in value, which was when Nathan Mayer Rothschild discreetly instructed his workers to purchase all the consols they could lay their hands on. When news came through that the British had actually won the war, the consols went up to a level even higher than before the war ended, leaving Nathan Mayer Rothschild with a return of approximately 20 to 1 on his investment. This gave the Rothschild family complete control of the British economy, now the financial center of the world following Napoleon's defeat, and forced England to set up a new Bank of England, which Nathan Mayer Rothschild controlled. Interestingly, 100 years later, the New York Times would run a story stating that Nathan Mayer Rothschild's grandson had attempted to secure a court order to suppress publication of a book which had this insider trading story in it. The Rothschild family claimed the story was untrue and libelous, but the court denied the Rothschild's request and ordered the family to pay all court costs. Oh, but I forgot, 1861, Lincoln approaches the big banks and they want 24% to 36% interest on all monies loaned. Lincoln is very angry about this high level of interest, so he prints his own debt-free money and informs the public this is now legal tender for both public and private debts. 1862, by April, $449,338,902 worth of Lincoln's debt-free money has been printed and distributed. He states of this, quote, "We gave the people of this republic the greatest blessing they ever had, their own paper money to pay their own debts," unquote. This same year, the Times of London publishes a story containing the following statement: "If that mischievous financial policy, which had its origins in the North American Republic, should become indurated down to a fixture, then that government will furnish its own money without cost. It will pay off debts and be without a debt. It will have all the money necessary to carry on its commerce. It will become prosperous beyond precedent in the history of civilized governments of the world. The brains and the wealth of all countries will go to North America. That government must be destroyed, or it will destroy every monarchy on the globe." 1863. President Abraham Lincoln discovers the Tsar of Russia, Alexander II, 1855 to 1881, was having problems with the Rothschilds as well, and he was refusing their continual attempts to set up a central bank in Russia. The Tsar then gave President Lincoln some unexpected help. The Tsar issued orders that if either England or France actively intervened in the American Civil War and helped the South, Russia would consider such an act a declaration of war and take the side of President Lincoln. To show that he wasn't messing around, he sent part of his Pacific Fleet to port in San Francisco and another part to New York. The Rothschilds used one of their own in America, John D. Rockefeller, to form an oil business called Standard Oil, which eventually takes over all its competition. 1865. In a statement to Congress, President Abraham Lincoln states, "I have two great enemies, the Southern Army in front of me and the financial institutions in the rear. Of the two, the one in my rear is my greatest foe." Later that year, on April 14, President Lincoln is assassinated. Are you ready for 1917? As a result of Germany's offer of peace, the Rothschild war machine goes into overdrive in America, spreading propaganda which leads President Wilson, under the instructions of American Zionist leader and Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis, reneging on his promise to the electorate and taking America into the First World War on April 6th. As per Rothschild Zionist promise to the British to take America into the war, they decide they want something in writing from the British to prove that they will uphold their side of the bargain. The British Foreign Secretary, Arthur James Balfour, therefore drafts a letter which is commonly known as the Balfour Declaration, which is reprinted below. Foreign Office, November 2nd, 1917. Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with the Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and it will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. Oh, yeah, and this is by the guy that forbid sanctuary in England during the pogroms that are going on at this time. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, Arthur James Balfour. The Rothschilds order the execution by the Bolsheviks they control of Tsar Nicholas II and his entire family in Russia, even though the Tsar had already abdicated on March 2nd.
Head to the 50th anniversary of the USS Liberty and the Six-Day War, the War of Aggression and Expansion of 1967, when the USS Liberty was sunk, murdering 34 sailors and wounding 200 or so.
This is both to get control of the country and an act of revenge for Tsar Alexander I, blocking their world government plan in 1815 at the Congress of Vienna, and Tsar Alexander II siding with President Abraham Lincoln in 1864. It is extremely important for them to slaughter the entire family, including women and children, in order to make good on the promise to do so made by Nathan Mayer Rothschild in 1815. It is designed to show the world what happens if you ever attempt to cross the Rothschilds. 1963, on June 4th, President John F. Kennedy signs Executive Order 11110, which returned to the U.S. government the power to issue currency without going through the Rothschild-owned Federal Reserve. Less than 6 months later, on November 22nd, President Kennedy is assassinated as Lincoln in 1865. He wanted to print American money for the American people, as opposed to for the benefit of a money-grabbing, warmongering foreign elite. This executive order 11110 is rescinded by President LBJ on Air Force One from Dallas to Washington the same day as President Kennedy was assassinated. Another and probably the primary reason for Kennedy's assassination is, however, the fact that he made it quite clear to Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion that under no circumstances would he agree to Israel becoming a nuclear state. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz on February 5, 1999, in a review of Avner Cohen's book Israel and the Bomb, states the following: the murder of American President John F. Kennedy brought to an abrupt end the massive pressure being applied by the U.S. administration on the government of Israel to discontinue the nuclear program. The book implied that had Kennedy remained alive, it is doubtful whether Israel would today have a nuclear option, unquote. 1965, Israel illegally obtains enriched uranium from NUMEC, Nuclear Materials and Equipment Corporation. 1967, June 8th, the Israelis launch an attack on the USS Liberty with Israeli aircraft and motor torpedo boats in an effort to blame it on Egypt to bring America into the war on their side.
Many very, very gravely. This war, which was sold to the American people as a defensive war by the Israelis, was in fact long pre-planned, and a long list of Israeli leaders has admitted that this was a war of aggression that they attacked, that Egypt and Nasser did not attack, and that basically the whole official story of 67 sold in the West is a big lie, like so many other stories coming out of the Zionists.
Let's recall the background of all of this is the creation of Israel in 1947-1948 through Resolution 181 of the United Nations, that the idea was to have two states, an Arab state and a Jewish state, and the Arab state was to be a Palestinian state. And so in 1967, these territories which had been earmarked for the Palestinian state were occupied. And to this day, Israel uses that term, occupied territory, because if they were really to annex that territory, they would also have to annex, or it would raise the issue, what is the citizenship, the relationship of Palestinian people in this territory to Israeli citizenship? And the position has been, well, these are a subject people. These are kind of a slave people. These are people without a state, and, you know, that they have suffered enormously. So 1967 changed a lot of things. Of course, let's go back to 1917, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the Balfour Declaration. Also, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which divided the Middle East between France and Britain. And for a time, Britain was mandated by the League of Nations to govern a place called Palestine. And now that Palestine has become the state of Israel, and this 1967 transformation made the territory earmarked to become the Palestinian state now essentially governed by Israel, for Israel, and subordinating Palestinians in a terrible, ruthless fashion.
Okay, well, moving on to what's happening today, Israel stole all that land, including the holy sites of Jerusalem in 67, and now they're trashing the region through their proxy ISIS, Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, some call it. And here we have the U.S., once again, whose policy is largely directed from Tel Aviv, helping ISIS fighters escape Raqqa. This is not the first time that the U.S. has been caught basically looking away. They have drones completely surrounding Raqqa, Tony. They have it under total surveillance, and they could bomb this thing to oblivion anytime they wanted to. But the whole U.S. versus ISIS campaign is a complete charade. They drop their bombs over the desert. ISIS is funded and supported through the U.S. And Saudi Arabia by Israel. And so here you have it. They're going to go and wreak some more havoc, kill more Muslims. ISIS is an anti-Islamic terror group, and trash the region on behalf of their Zionist masters.
So U.S. is giving air support to the soldiers going into Raqqa, who are Kurds, who are a militia of Kurds backed by U.S. And U.S. has used white phosphorus, supposedly in attacking ISIS and taking control of control away from ISIS of the community of Raqqa. But as you point out, there is this evidence that U.S. is saying, okay, ISIS, go elsewhere. We'll help you move your equipment and your people elsewhere to fight another day in another forum, because you're our pawns. You
You had DJ Mouse back to the tracks yesterday, and now you have to go to Greg from Trex to hear this. It says June 19th, 2017.
Oh my. Flyer still up. No WMDs. No steel frame building falls in fire. No Afghans did it. Idiots. Welcome to Clyde. Welcome to the military ocean terminal Concord. Warning, restricted area, keep out. Naval weapons station Concord.
That was...
Flyer's still up. No WMDs.
Yeah. Poster was still up. So every sort of American has walked past no WMDs, no steel frame building falls in fire, no Afghan did it, idiots. And not a single one of those hundreds, at least, probably walking past that, has lifted a finger to rip it down over the last month. And of course, the MPs drive past and know that. But, let me think, oh yeah, so Monday, next Monday, I will be going out to get run over by the weapons.
Let me sleep in the coolness of your shadow, in the silence of your deep darkness. Darkness, hide the yearnings for the things that cannot be. Take my mind, constant turning toward the thing I cannot see.
Rather be dead. If you're going to say you're going to pull your gun and shoot me in the head, if I don't immediately get up out of the way, I'll say this is a good day to die.
Violation by arresting me for walking back and forth. And I think there's witnesses. I know, and then everybody will say they came and went, no trouble, business as usual. They can take me away, but not everybody, probably.
I hope not.
At 15 after, they announced the boat was still here on Cape of Bay.
Did they?
Yeah, so. There'll be more. Okay. Craig Allen Getty.
Craig Allen Getty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, where are we? Let me pause this. Okay, so, imagine, where is it going? Okay, what's upon the Central American War, a war on Central America that was a cartoon of everybody torturing their prisoners in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, all the death squad governments the U.S. supported, but there was Nicaragua doing a handstand juggling while the Yankee was pointing the gun, you know, the... Uncle Sam figure, was pointing the gun at Nicaragua saying, I'm sorry, you'll have to do better than that. Well, anyway, your neighbor breaks into your house, comes into your living room, stands very close to you, takes up as much of your space as he possibly can, stands in front of you so you can't see, breathes down your neck, puts his hands in your pocket, takes your food out of your hand when you try to eat. If during this time you accidentally brush up against your neighbor, he screams at you and slaps you in the face, and you know during all of this that if any time you retaliate by slapping him back, your neighbor will murder you and take your house. Now that's Caitlin Johnstone describing U.S. continues to attack Syria in self-defense to provoke Assad retaliation. The self-defense is mocking, I think. Well, let me get back to the participation in these death squads in Syria, Libya, ad nauseum, that your life becomes so worthless that you get ready to throw it in Big Brother's face and feel the value of that life. And as you stand in the way of your fellow gringos y gringas and the genocide that means, the genocide represented by that English language. There's only half a dozen Anglo words in Normandy where we Anglos hail from. That's because, well, but it's such a stupid language that anybody could understand it. That's why it's sort of international, especially if you float around the world injecting opium into China. But before you throw away your life, show up Monday at 5300 Portugal Highway to stand in the way of the greatest evil on the planet, and you will feel the value of that life, which becomes so joyful when you're not part of the American House of Bondage, founded the year after slavery was abolished, and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. Wonder Woman says, we call that slavery, and then she proceeds to foist that dirty German lie. Now, of course, Volkswagen, that was our puppet, Hitler Bank, was Prescott Bush, and you were part of Bush America, right? Like Saudi Arabia, well, son of Hitler's banker.
Supposed to step into harm's way, not run like lily-livered cowards, saying you're going to murder all those children in Hiroshima and Nagasaki because the American serviceman is too pissing cowardly to go stick their necks out.
to say the hill's too steep to climb.
Gaza Summer, thanks to the security guy who pointed me to the right verse, by the way. And I'm going to read now from the Peace and Freedom article. Another view of the blockade of the Zim Piraeus in Oakland. There's a bomb. Marsha Fineland. That would have been Elizabeth Hendrickson, who, even though I said not a word, alleged that I had stipulated she could file as a misdemeanor when the Superior Court, I think my NLG lawyer, had gotten it reduced to, I didn't know who it was, but I had given my name to one. Anyway, let me jump to this before I get distracted about the magistrate. Because she's not a regular judge. Thanks to the security guy, yeah, because I was at the same little corner she was. In order to successfully stop the work, we needed more people at another berth further down the road, because, of course, we all know to go to that, where the green, there's only green curbs for 15-minute parking by the picnic table. Of course, the workers got to get picked up and stuff, because you're not parking and all that, so you gotta have that 15-minute parking, but it's a 24-hour 15-minute parking. Now, other end, over where I was, the one a little north on Middle Harbor Road, right next to the Aquatic Park parking lot, is only during the day. Don't tell anybody I slept on the beach to be there that early. I dropped my friend off. Okay, at another location. Okay, until then, we had been unaware of both the need to pick at that site and of the location of that activist, because the security guard only told me, I guess. I dropped my friend off where there were some other picketers so that he could give them the news. I then proceeded to check out the new to me location. I saw a lone demonstrator sitting down in the entrance driveway. And maybe I could go to that. And where would I go? Oh, yes, YouTube. Congrats, your video is now on YouTube. So, that link, and then I just stop it and go to Greg from Trax, because we just heard my last little thing. Oh, I gotta stop it before I go to Greg from Trax. Oh, no, it's already gone to Greg. Okay, now, here we go, August 18th. No! Back. I didn't say anything like that. Okay, August 18th, 2014. Port of Oakland. So, as I read, we will hear the background that I already played. But let me just roll through. Marsha Fineline. I dropped my friend off where there were some other picketers so that he could give them the news. I then proceeded to check out the new to me location. What was it, berth 54 or 5? 2, 3, 4, 5. I saw a lone demonstrator sitting down in the entrance driveway. The police appeared to be taking him. It was reported later he had been arrested. And here's August 18th. And
now, I am told that it is no longer the peaceably assembly by this gentleman over here.
Yeah, because for a half hour there, I got there, like, I don't know, 7 plus or minus a.m., and then, like, walked back and forth for, like, 20 minutes, and there was a van full of cops, showed up immediately. But, of course, it isn't against the law to walk back and forth at the port with a picket sign in your hand. Unionists have been doing it a century almost. And so the captain is the guy I'm referring to.
Obviously doing your job. I'm going to continue walking back and forth. You can arrest me right now, right here.
Okay.
On that basis.
Okay. Well, you want to come over to the sidewalk here? Yeah, you have an option to be on the sidewalk.
If I am under arrest, then let's make it obvious, okay? I wouldn't want you to commit a First Amendment violation by arresting me for walking back and forth.
At which point, I sat down in the driveway, or the entrance to berth 54 or 5 or something like that. And then she drove by, saw me, and then went back to the other corner and told them, and then came back. Not being able to park, I drove around from gate to gate, passed on messages, and gave people rides to and fro. Word came down by 8:30 that the ILWU was honoring our picket line, or attempted picket line, and the ship would not be offloading that morning. 25 people went to the port on Monday morning because they knew the importance of continuing to present a picket line. So there were 2 dozen of us Monday morning. The threat of a large... There were 5,000 on Saturday. I have that up. Well, I didn't post it because everybody saw that. A substantial picket line had prevented the longshoremen workers from offloading the ship after it had arrived on Sunday. We were winning. We were not about to stop in the face of victory. A small group of people managed to keep it going. After Monday morning's action, the larger body of protesters reactivated themselves. Oh, yeah, I remember there was the protest had been canceled, and as I walked past half a dozen cops at West Oakland Park, I said, "Have more faces than that," and I got nods and smiled. By Tuesday night, the ship left the port. More people came to the port to prevent the Piraeus from being offloaded on Monday evening and for both the morning and the evening ships on Tuesday. By Tuesday night, the ship left the port, but turned around and came back to a different berth. Workers were transferred from another job to work the Israeli ship. The mainstream news reported that the Oakland-bound cargo was removed from the boat before it left for other destinations. I later heard this on the KPFA news as well, but some people who have contacts in the union say that the workers slowed down and unloaded very little before the Zimperaeus was sent on its way. This view is reinforced by pictures of the ship with a full load of cargo after it had left Oakland for good, with rotting garlic sent back to Asia. In any case, the news of the opposition of the people of the Bay Area to Israel's aggression against Palestine and the power of joint action of workers and community activists is reverberating around the world. That's peaceandfreedom.org, YouTube. Another view of the blockade of the Zimperaeus of Oakland. Peaceandfreedom.org is where you can read the rest of that. But this is about what is happening today, but I already got to that in the... the protest yesterday at 5300, where I will be back next Monday, probably... I can't guarantee what time because I've got appointments and other things happening, but we'll see. And then if I put up a poster for the next week, I know that I got the next week clear, and I'll go directly there without passing go and block the first explosive I see. And welcome anybody else to film me, or if you want to have the experience of the Concord or Martinez jails, or sometimes they send you to West County, okay, on Richmond, on the Great Highway. But So.
And I think there's witnesses. I know, and then everybody will say they came and went, no trouble, business as usual.
They can take me away, but not everybody, probably.
I hope not.
At 15 after they announced the boat was still here on Cape of Bay. Yeah, so.
That'll be more.
Okay. Craig Allen Getty.
Craig Allen Getty.
Yeah.
We are all at Downs.
Oh boy, Officer Friendly is coming.
This was a June 12th protest.
Hi.
You're back, you have a better phone this time.
I know, it's a miracle. I still got the other one.
Oh, the flip phone?
Yeah, and then I'm going to film what I recorded onto that, but I don't know. You don't need to be up there on the internet, do you? You want to be a...
Not particular.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to say hi.
Hi. Yeah, that was pleasant. I put the audio up.
Okay.
It's Indie Bay. It's called the Mouse Report. I'm DJ Mouse.
DJ Mouse?
Yeah, I go every That's Tuesday cool. and I tell Berkeley Liberation Radio on them.
That's cool.
So your voice is there.
Oh.
And I've got the MP driving by. So people,
yeah, they just want to check it out. I already told them that you're one of our friends.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's so sweet. I won't tell anybody you said that.
Yeah, don't tell your
You'll
friend.
Get in trouble. Believe me. You'll get in trouble. Scare them away. We don't like them. Us neither.
Yeah. All right.
That's our did idea.
Did you put up posters this time or no?
Well, see, the one that I had put up was all the... So I really don't. I'm going to take the other one down. Have you helped kill children in Yemen with white phosphorus today? You remember, have you hugged your kid today?
Yeah.
So that's from the old, have you killed kids in El Salvador today?
Oh.
My little cutesy from the horrible 80s. Let me turn this off so I don't accidentally...
Hit by CNWS bomb truck on 31703 after arrest on Hiroshima Day the year before, which saw much court action. And after, it was February 2005, the third amended complaint granted by Sandra Brown Armstrong. I'm going to open you in a new tab and close this one because you're just going around in circles. Now, this is too, but... Well, if I close up... Oh, here we go. Tune in, kid. This was 15.
It's the 117L. It's not explosive or it would have a placard on the front. Oh, that doesn't have a placard on the front. Maybe it is explosive.
You guys don't know what you're doing here.
I am going to block the...
I want to complete it under the Geneva Convention for Prisoners of War. The cabs are fast upon us now.
I'm going to block the...
I
am blocking this.
That's an obstacle. But he did not arrest him for filing a false police report. Bang. Now we go to...
He was Lieutenant Bolson, correct?
6 months before.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's Stuart.
Right, right. He actually said, I told him where I was coming.
Take him away.
It's not Greg.
Yeah.
Abiding the law. He knows the law there. You should arrest him.
Oh, no. Listen, that was for writing and paint. This is chalk. Now, if you want to watch me go wipe it off...
I had no conception anybody would be offended by chalk on Hiroshima Day, educating the children of what their parents do.
Well, I'm not questioning your values of this, but I'm saying...
He doesn't know it was chalk, please.
Wouldn't there be... Could you educate more people being someplace other than where you don't know? So you can tell, see this?
Nothing in the world could possibly educate people better than the weapon for Hiroshima came from this base. And this is the anniversary. The United States of America murdered the children of Hiroshima.
All right, that's when the United States won that war.
Murdered the children. No, they had agreed to the same conditions that were accepted after the bombing was obviously to show Russians that we didn't care about military necessity. We would kill their children by the millions. And that's how we won the Cold War.
On that subject, we are killing people by the millions. In the war on terror, of course, 1 million pounds of uranium dumped on Iraq and Tora Bora and all. But anyway, this war on terror, when I talked to Daniel Ellsberg at an event with Carell on Afghanistan in a church, local church, I said, to not talk about the inside job is to cover it up. He said, I disagree. And so he talks about Afghanistan as if... people in Afghanistan had anything to do with blowing ourselves up, with the air defense stand down for Pentagon drone strikes, the two that were ordered up in 1962 under Lebanon, sir, that JFK didn't allow, so they used him as the American to be killed, to be used against Cuba, but Cuba didn't give Oswald the passport because the anti-Batista Cubans were being put into the front, you know, to get wiped out, and so they had probably tipped off Cuba. That's all in those ZR rifle, some of the details, as much as is known, anyway, about all that, so he said, well, I disagree because he's a liberal, he has something to lose, he has something, but this says NBC, Nixon planned physical attack on peace activists in 62, so the thing that caught my attention this morning, let me read the whole thing. This is from Democracy Now! Headlines. And NBC News has published an explosive Watergate-era document showing how then-President Richard Nixon planned a physical assault on peace activists in 1972, including famed Vietnam War whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, who gave us his family videotape back in 1967, his video camera, when those were like a grand or more. For me to learn on. Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the, and you see him in the, carrying it in that picture was Herbert Paz, the World War II veteran, who was saved by a French woman who had been saved by a German soldier in World War I giving her bread. So, as the people importing the Nazis into our government were starving the soldiers, they were being saved by quote-unquote enemy. Revelation came an 18-page memo from Watergate Special Prosecution Force, which detailed how Nixon operatives were planning an attack against demonstrators, including Ellsberg, at a rally at the U.S. Capitol. In response to the memo's release, Daniel Ellsberg told NBC, "They used to say nobody got hurt in Watergate. That was not because they didn't try." And of course, as I say, he's implying that nobody got hurt in Watergate when that was a cover-up of the Kennedy assassination. Judge Sirica, in to set the record straight, had the decency to include the full transcript. And if you see complete Watergate transcript, is that apt to miss the June 22nd, 1972 memo, Nixon telling Dean, as I confronted him under CIA perp Bensky, 10 points down the dial, listen, go tell FBI, it'll make them and the CIA look bad, it'll blow the Kennedy assassination. So that was the background to the Watergate. Nixon is going to get busted for the Kennedy assassination because, Haldeman explains in The Ends of Power, that's code, when he says it'll blow the Bay of Pigs thing, that's code for the Kennedy assassination. And so we just go over this thing again and again and ignore the obvious. Somebody got hurt in Watergate. It was us all. We got our brains blown out in 1963. And when they were having the perpetrators, people too so dumb they needed to write H. Hunt W. House, okay? And the local pigs and the federal pigs and everybody are so dumb that it takes these spin control coming from the Pentagon media to say, okay, let's go call the W. House and ask for Mr. Hunt. E. Howard Hunt, that Mark Lane's book, he sued Spotlight because Victor Marchetti's article saying, well, they were planning on hanging him out to dry along with Angleton because, of course, his picture is there under arrest, the hobo, you know, whatever, the disheveled guy. And the photo overlays from Watergate show him and Sturgis under arrest, November 22nd, 1963. 50 years later, Big Brother is saying the First Lady grabbed the back of the President's head off the back of the car after driving past the patsy. Big Brother is still trying to drive down our throats as if a 5-year-old wouldn't know the obvious. Couldn't be Oswald, who was behind the President when he was shot. Of course, he probably tipped him off so that we didn't get our brains blown off in Chicago. There was a black FBI or CIA agent who stood in the way of that. But where were we? Oh, let's go back to Hiroshima Day. First one after we blew ourselves up.
So you understand, I don't need any of that money.
Oh, what did he say?
In fact, Hiroshima.
Right, that's when the United States won that war.
Murdered the children. No, they had agreed to the same conditions that were accepted after the bombing was obviously to show Russians that we didn't care about military necessity. We would kill their children by the millions. And that's how we won the Cold War.
Okay.
So you understand, I don't need any of that money. In fact, I don't need any of that life. I would rather be dead. If you're going to say you're going to pull your gun and shoot me in the head, if I don't immediately get up out of the way, I'll say this is a good day to die.
So are you going to harm yourself?
No. I would harm myself by cooperating with murder.
Can you hang on one second there?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry.
At a certain point, you got to say, I can't live with that, sir. You're supposed to step into harm's way. Not run like lily-livered cowards saying you're going to murder all those children in Hiroshima and Nagasaki because the American serviceman is too pissed and cowardly to go stick their necks out. That's his cover story. I'm not saying that's true. You know, there's millions of soldiers that felt shamed to the core by that murderous act that the Nazis hadn't even equaled. Instantaneous murder of hundreds of thousands. Nazis couldn't even do that. They were trying. But that was because the Bush family was funding them. The senior Bush had his bank seized.